Opening statement. I think the church should act more like a body than an organization. Think about that. I think the church should act more like a body than an organization. I want to dive straight into this fourth message on our church, diving deep. So as one pastor I used to work with said, put on your thinking caps, because we're going to dive in here. I want you right away to engage with me, and let's get right into the church. This is really, really important for us to understand some of these things. I said a number of weeks ago, I said, the church is fearfully and wonderfully made. As body, as people were made, Psalm 139, David says, a person is fearfully and wonderfully made. From the time of conception, we believe that life begins fearfully, wonderfully made and knit together. And I realized as I was praying about this and looking at it, I'm going, well, that's everything that Jesus does with creation. Everything that God does, including the church. And the church, I believe, is fearfully and wonderfully made. Now think about this for a minute. Fearfully, we just say, fearfully and wonderfully made. What is fearfully made? When God creates something fearfully, it is with awe. It is with importance. It is with downright respect and care and everything that goes into creating something very special and wonderfully. But I want us to understand that the church is fearfully made. It's not just a church. It's a church. This is a church that Jesus has fearfully made. Can we get that? Can we understand that? Can we see that? This church is fearfully created by God. The church is not a democracy. I've said that before. It is not a democracy. Our church is unique within the universal church of Jesus Christ. Our church is not like any other church. You, individually, are not like any other person in the world. There may be doppelgangers, but they don't count. You don't know what a doppelganger is, ask me later. But there's only one of you, and there's only one church like this. When people met Jesus, they were placed into groups of people, eventually in the book of Acts, to be called churches. As Jesus has moved us from sheep pen to sheep pen, he moves us around in different churches. His plan for you and me is for better. It will be for you and I to serve him and others better, in a new place. Jesus wants us to grow more. And that's evident in my life in Jesus bringing me here, bringing us here to this church. People change churches. That's just what happens. We don't have to look badly at that. And sometimes the hard thing is to let go of your previous church or churches. You have to say goodbye and you have to leave your previous church alone. Even when we may have bad feelings towards a previous church, we need to let it go, we need to forgive, and we need to release it from our lives. And there also can be a problem sometimes when we can't let go, we sometimes bring our history, we bring our lessons, we bring our theology sometimes to the new church. And we sometimes long for the glory days of the past. Is that in the back of our minds and our hearts as we gather here? I wish this church was like my other church. It will not be like your other church. It won't be. It can't be. That's not what Jesus has for this church. It's a new church. We are in a new church. Jesus is up to something new for us, for you, and for me. Please resist saying, yeah, I know church. I've been in one all my life. I've heard all the messages on church. I know what you're talking about. I get it. Resist that thought. We all have not been in this church all that long. Listen carefully. We can say as a church we are 10 years old. But this chapter is only 3 years old. Why? When you look at your own body and your own growth, there's certain stages and chapters in your life where you mature or you change or you grow up or whatever. Okay? So little Noah may be really cute sitting there. But I hope he doesn't stay like that. Even though I'm sure Mom would love to keep Noah this age. Like little Seth, he waves at me every time I pick up his brother and sister at school. Oh, I wish he would just stay like that for the rest of his life. No, he needs to grow up. We all need to grow up. And there's different stages in our life. This church, in a new chapter, is only 3 years old. Why? What if, and I say it unapologetically, you have a new pastor. You have a new leader here. That Mark's different. I'm different than the previous pastor. Nothing against the previous pastor at all. I respect them. I love them. We've gotten together a number of times. But I'm a new pastor. I'm a different pastor, leader for this church. We're in a new place. Just when I started as your pastor, we moved into this place. Isn't it great? You used to be a portable church. That's what they call that when you move around. It's called a portable church. You're not that anymore. We now have a place to meet. There is significant change anytime there is a life change in a person and also for a church. We're in a new chapter, in a new thing, we're just new. Together, we are all invited, we are even called to love this church and to serve Jesus and not just a few special people. We are all invited. Why does this matter? When God creates a church, it is unique. And we have never, note this, we have never been in a church like this before. Now, I grew up in a church of about 40 people. That was my church way back when in BC. It was 40 people. And when we started here, it was 50 people or so. This is a unique church. We've never been in a church like this before. And Jesus is working in each of us and for us. Okay, let's go a little deeper here. Go with me in your Bibles. To Ephesians chapter 4. I want to talk about how we all are together. We are all together in this body. So apologies to those on live stream, but this is what I'm going to do. We are all together. I may be your pastor, but I want you to understand this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, and their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, when you look at those first five, they're often called the fivefold ministry. They're called apes, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds. And a lot of people turn them into offices, and I thought that, and I believed that for many years, and that may be true. But when I look at these particular five, that's all of us. Many of you will have apostle-like gifts, pastor-like gifts, teacher-like gifts. I happen to have the pastor-like gift. You know that. Many of you have said that to me. I also have a teaching gift, and I have a leading gift. We are all part of this together. Just because I have a position doesn't mean I am any better. I am not. I am one of us. And I call all of us to exercise the gifts, the abilities, the skills that God has given to every one of us. I'm back, but I'm going to go again. Okay, let's go to the next passage here, which is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, God has given me, I give to each of you this morning, and it's a good morning for all of us. Don't think you are better than you really are. Tim, don't think I am better than I really am. Did I say that right? Don't think you are better than I really are. Yes, yep. Be honest in my evaluation of myself. Be honest in our evaluation of each other. Love that. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We have many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Can say, we are the body. We are the body. We all work together. We're all the body. What's the next passage there, Brett? Keep going. Or is it frozen? Oh, there we go. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I love this. I'm back. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And you are living stones that God is building into spiritual temples. Say, I'm a stone. I'm a stone. You're not stoned. You are a stone. Building the temple, building each part of the temple was built by stones. You could say, I'm a 2x4. Or I'm shiplap, or I'm aspenite 4x8 sheet, or whatever. You are something that builds a temple. What's more, you are holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Say, I'm a priest. I'm a priest. How does that feel? Yeah. But think what Peter is talking about. The priests were, in the Old Testament, was a group of people that led and did all the sacrifices and did all the religious things. When Jesus came and built his church and built the body, he now lowered it all, so all of us are like priests. So priests talk. Right? Priest, Amy. You and I are all priests together to encourage and help each other. We all minister to each other, not just the guy up front. We all are priests. Next verse, verse 9. But you're not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. Look at that again. For you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation. Now, it's not the church. Now, there's some people that call replacement theology or replacement theory, where they say that the church has replaced Israel in the whole scheme of theology and how it's all going to work. That's not the point. Peter is saying to the church, you are priests, you are a body, you are a temple, you are a chosen people. You are like a nation. You're not a nation, but you form a group. That's what he's writing. Very important that we can look at each other like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One more. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. In that whole chapter, he talks about the gifts and abilities and skills that we all have. Remember, fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together, God put into each of us our personality, our gifts, our skills, our abilities, our personality, everything we are, our tastes, our likes, our dislikes, everything. He created us, knit us together. Verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. He gives you gifts and abilities. He gives me gifts and abilities. Verse 27 or verse 12. Verse 12. The human body has many parts, and the many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, each of you are parts of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages or tongues or spiritual language. Are all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should eagerly desire the most helpful gifts. God takes your personality. He takes your personality and he looks at you and goes, oh, I know how to create Ryan. Okay, I created it. And I give him these gifts. These abilities that match with your personality. He gives us all kinds of things to make us that person. I love it. He knows how to create us and make us effective in the church with each other. I love it. I love it. We are a body. Now, let's talk about the co-vocational pastor and church. A year and a half ago, I wrote a proposal to the leadership team, July of 24, gave it to them in November, and we've been talking about it ever since. I want to explain a few things, and I I've been wanting to talk about this since the beginning of January, and I thought, okay, now I need to get to this. I need us to understand something about our church. So this is what I wrote. In November 2022, we as a leadership team had a couple of conversations that led you as a church to call me as your pastor. We are so excited to be here with you in Rosemont. We began serving you on December 1st, 2022, and then we moved here in April 2024. What a crazy and fun journey this has been, God ordained for sure. It's so funny that the leadership team jokes with me and said, you were adamant, you were never going to move to Rosemont. So I don't know if I was adamant. No, you were adamant. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. We continued to live in the Sage Creek community of Winnipeg as we were trying to create a house church for our neighborhood. It also allowed me to work as a school bus driver and Judy at the Steinbeck Credit Union at the time. This is a great arrangement, which we still enjoy the bus driving and all that to this day. Thank you. Though my position of being co-vocational is somewhat accidental and out of financial necessity due to the size and the financial base of our small church back then, I have been sensing for a few months now, a couple of years already, that this is what God has for me for the rest of my ministry life. I believe that Jesus is calling me to be a pastor co-vocationally, working both in the working world, so school bus driving, Zamboni driving, and forklift driving. I love driving things. And being employed by the church. The prefix co means the two work together. It's a type of co-mingling of work, both feeding each other and also not separate in my life. Both work together for the kingdom. This is an important point. In my reading of many books and articles and many conversations, I believe that the co-vocational ministry is being revisited and practiced as a very viable way of doing ministry. According to the Wycliffe College in Ontario, in a recent analysis of StatsCan information, from 2013 to 2021, the bivocational pastor position has increased 800%. Did you hear that? The bivocational pastor role employment across Canada has increased 800%. There's a lot of us out there. Did you know that there are over 25,000 small churches in Canada? 150 or less, that's considered a small church. We are amongst the majority of churches. The megachurch, nothing against megachurch at all, I worked in one for many years. The megachurch is very small. There are more churches like us across Canada. Pastor Ray Dirksen of Church Renewal International echoes the same fact as he is coming in contact with an increasing number of co-vocational pastors in his ministry. The above notes have encouraged me to continue in this co-vocational personally. These last 20 months, or now it's almost 3 years, have proven this call upon my life. I could tell you tons of stories about it, but I won't. Being in co-vocational ministry and then reading and learning about this type of ministry has been very affirming. Many times as I have read or had conversations, I would think, huh, that's my experience. That's what I'm seeing. It's happening to me too. This has been an incredible journey, and I could write many stories about this. In my conversations with my mentor, we have been encouraged to not look at this for financial reasons. We need to look at this as a biblical vocation or a conviction and a call of God upon my life and upon the church. Allow me to outline the whys of co-vocational ministry, and you will see the benefits for our church. Number one, the Apostle Paul and many of the early church leaders in scriptures, in history, were co-vocational in their ministry. As we read in the book of Acts, we see that Paul was a leather worker, a leather tanner, as was Aquila and Priscilla. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers in Ephesians 4 were all co-vocational in the biblical times. They have their ministry in both the working world, the marketplace, and in the church. That was the way then. I just read the other day that one of the deans at Briarcrest Seminary, Jason Mills, is writing a book which will come out in another year. And he is contending that most, if not all, the pastors and teachers and church workers of the way the church started for the first couple of hundred years were all co-vocational. He's contending that the full-time pastor, okay, hear me, I'm not against full-time pastors. I was one for many years. He is contending that the full-time pastor was not the original intent of the church. I'm very looking forward to reading that book. Interesting. Very fascinating. So don't go to a full-time pastor going, you're wrong. Don't do that. This is what God has called our church and many churches across Canada to do. 1 Corinthians, number 2, 1 Corinthians 12 states that we're a church body with many parts, so many can and should get involved. Jesus is the head, but all the parts work together in the body life. We're also called the priesthood of believers in 1 Peter 2. Many priests and servants working together. The whole church body is to work together and not leaving it all for the hired professionals. I'm trying to make a point. I'm not intending to criticize the methods of other churches and pastors. Number 3. We all understand that no one person has multiple gifts and talents. Therefore, one full-time pastor only has a few gifts. But as we put together several co-vocational pastors or staff, then we pull together many more gifts. So both Kevin and I are co-vocationals, youth pastor as lead pastor. We do not have the same gifts and abilities. So you actually have double the gifts. If you had just me as a full-time pastor, you would get 3 gifts. But because you have 2 of us, and eventually if we need to hire more co-vocational staff and pastors, you will get 6 or 9 or many more gifts. That is neat. That is powerful how that all works together. Potentially the people whom we might want to hire as pastors and staff are already in the working world. Why would we want to pull them out of a good ministry place with good relationships to come and work for the church full time? Why couldn't they still have that other job and work with the church? We're all doing co-vocational. The power of this is incredible. I'm excited. I wish I was doing this years ago. The whole co-vocational thing. I probably could say, well, I wish I was with you guys years ago. But you know what I mean? This is amazing. My calling as a co-vocational pastor. Kevin and Becky's calling as a co-vocational pastor. My role is leadership and teaching and pastoral care. That's what I do. It's not about finances. And my mentor has pushed me and encouraged me even to say it to you as a church. This is not about finances. Our church is actually very healthy financially. We had more money brought in, gave by all of us together, and we tithe as well. All of us together, we have more money than we actually need. You could actually hire me full time. You could. But that's not the point. I've told the leadership team they will not be able to hire me full-time. I am not coming full-time to this church. I love what I do. And we can use that money to hire other co-vocational people as we need. It's not about, well, because I can't do it all, I need your help. No. It's about all of us being what God's called us to do. All of us getting involved. All of us working together. That's what it is. It's about simplicity and efficiency, who we are, not about being all things for all people. We're not comparing ourselves to any other church. We are a co-vocational church. We all get to participate. We all get to contribute. We all get to care. We all get to serve. I hope that I have given us many new thoughts as to how we do church. I hope that we can think outside the box of how church is done. Many are seeing that the church as we knew it will change as we come to know a new kind of church.
Oh no!
Let me say that again. Many are seeing, in here and outside, many are seeing that the church as we knew it will change. Jesus is still creating the church. It always comes to my mind. I remember in first year of Bible school, we were in a deep theological discussion in one of the theology classes. And one of the young girls in the church put up her hand. I have a question. Oh yeah, what's your question? What are belly buttons for? What has this got to do with what we're talking about? And she says, well, when God finished creating, he went, you're done, you're done, you're done. Nothing to do with the conversation. Now that we're done, theological discussion. But I often think about this. God doesn't just go, church one, church two, church three. He doesn't cookie cut churches. He doesn't, like, we have a really nice daycare here. Well, they're all kinds exactly made the same. Same layout, same everything. They do that. Jesus isn't doing that with the church. We're not like any other church. We'll never be like any other church. And every church must be individual. The new church, I believe, will be simpler. The new church will be leaner and more intentional about being a body that cares for each other rather than a well-structured organization. Let me say that again. The new church, I believe, will be simpler, leaner, a more intentional about being a body that cares for each other rather than a well-structured organization. I believe that. All my heart. This is what God is creating, I believe, for us as a church. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me, a person in this church? What does that mean for us? Let's go to the application and a reflection. I'm just asking you to pray for us as a church. Just pray. Ask Jesus, what do you want to do in our church? He's a functional Lord. He's the head of the body. Ask Jesus, what do you want to do for us in our church? Jesus, what do you want to do for our church? Jesus, what do you want to do for us in our church? Jesus created his church uniquely. He didn't use an assembly line process. Think about that. He created this church on purpose, for a purpose, intentionally. Church. I'm excited. Are you? This is our church. God's doing something in us and in you. I'm so glad every one of you are here. And the others that God may bring in here, I'm praying, God, bring to us people that you want here and that we need. No more, no less. Jesus, who needs us and who do we need? So around your tables, I want you to pray for our church. And then go to the band, you can come up right away and play a little bit of guitar, and then when you're ready, then you can do this. All right? Let's pray around our tables. One or two people as you feel comfortable.